History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. And they don't have to go untold, as long as we're willing to take the initiative and ask a few questions, and then invest enough time to patiently listen as memories from long ago emerge again in the here and now. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along that way, as you know if you've ever listened to Hometown Heroes before, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we end up inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. We're a week away now from Memorial Day weekend when our nation pauses to remember all of those men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice for the rest of us. I bring it up now so you'll have a little time to look into Memorial Day observances where you live and find a way to get involved. At the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. on Monday, May 30th, they'll have an official Memorial Day observance featuring comments from World War II Merchant Marine veteran Dave Yoho. And just about every day now, that World War II Memorial is again hosting veterans from all over the U.S. who are visiting for free thanks to the Honor Flight Network. The COVID-19 pandemic brought a temporary moratorium on honor flights, but they are back up and running now in a lot of the places where Hometown Heroes is on the radio. Coming up on June 1st, Honor Flight of Northern New Mexico will return to the skies with 25 veterans. So if you're one of our listeners on KIVA, the Rock of Talk in Albuquerque, I hope you'll get out and support that effort. I know a lot of our listeners in Bakersfield, California on KNZR were out to welcome Honor Flight Kern County earlier this month. And that community, which loves its veterans so much, is unveiling a brand new World War II memorial this weekend. Where I live in the middle of California, Central Valley Honor Flight just returned from its first flight in 2.5 years, taking 63 veterans with service covering World War II, the Korean War, the Cold War, and the Vietnam War to their memorials. One of the vets on that flight was Dr. Gilbert Stocks, a World War II Navy pilot we just recently met on Hometown Heroes when he celebrated his 100th birthday. You can find plenty of video and news coverage of that honor flight online, but on the radio, sound is what we pay attention to. And I want you to listen to something really quick before we move on with the show and even tell you about one really easy way that you can help more veterans have this experience. But as roughly 1,500 people filled the Fresno Yosemite International Airport this past Wednesday evening, a crowd that always moves me because you'll find age 0 to 100, every ethnicity, every tax bracket, every religious persuasion, every political ideology, all united and decked out in red, white, and blue to welcome these heroes home. They agree that our veterans deserve our gratitude, and I asked them to be as quiet as possible as the procession of veterans approached from the other side of security, passing through a tunnel of active duty sailors from Lemoore Naval Air Station and members of the 144th Fighter Wing of the Air National Guard, all standing at attention to salute these veterans as they passed by. You're going to hear the bagpipes approaching, and then as soon as those veterans came through the doors to the waiting crowd, a deafening roar from that diverse welcoming committee accompanied the Clovis Community Band playing the respective hymns of each branch of service. The video's powerful, but see if you can feel the power of this moment just through what it sounded like in welcoming these veterans home.
Welcome home.
I've got goosebumps again, and it happens every time, and I hope that gives you a little bit of a feel. And if you're one of our Central California listeners and didn't make it, there'll be two more Central Valley Honor Flights this fall with homecoming scheduled for September 14th and October 19th, so put down those two dates on your calendar. Right before those 63 veterans went marching through, there was another powerful scene when 25 veterans who had been scheduled to visit their memorials with Honor Flight were posthumously honored. These veterans all passed away in the more than 2 years between flights due to that pandemic pause. One of those 25 was a Pearl Harbor survivor named Chuck Keene. And before I share the rest of the details on how those deceased veterans were honored, let's listen to a short clip to add a little perspective. Here's what Chuck Keene told us on Hometown Heroes a few years back about his experience aboard the cruiser USS Honolulu on December 7th, 1941.
Bill Moore started breakfast and the general quarters alarm rang. I ran topside and here was a Japanese Zero coming right down the dock, just strafing the hell out of things, you know. We didn't know, had never had any training on being under gunfire. I compare it to taking pulling a little spool in the dirt, running along behind and seeing the dust come up behind the spool in the alleyway. Well, that's the way those bullets were coming down that. And we never had brain wanted to duck or anything like that. We just watched it go by. Everybody was just sort of in awe. We had to man those searchlights. Well, it seemed sort of dumb to do anything with a searchlight in broad daylight, so we were down helping wherever we could, and I was helping try to get ammunition to these 3-inch guns because they had no provisions for that. They had a locker full of them, and so we'd throw the locker open and try to keep shells enough for the guns, and then the gun got hot and it jammed, and we just had all kinds of problems. Then you'd go to the next one. We just sort of all over the ship the first day until we were hit. They come by, they dropped a bomb, and it hit the dock and exploded underneath the ship and caved our whole front of the ship in, a 500-pound bomb. And so we couldn't go anywhere because our magazine had collapsed, and they were afraid it was going to blow up. And so the next 3 days, I spent myself down in my shorts and skivvies, you would say, and with stockings, and going down there sweeping up gunpowder with a foxtail and by the pail to get it out of there to where it's a miracle we didn't blow up right then, you know. But the only thing that they said that saved us was it collapsed the pig tanks where the water was. It forced the water right back into the magazine, and so it didn't explode.
So that was Pearl Harbor survivor Chuck Keene talking about December 7th, 1941. Shortly after that interview, he signed up for an honor flight, but he sadly passed away before that flight could take off. Chuck's great-granddaughter, Chloe Ross, and her friends at Granite Hills High School in Porterville, California, spent their lunch hours making patriotic blankets for every veteran scheduled on that flight and presented them to those veterans while they were still waiting for their chance to fly. Sadly, Mr. Keene and 24 others passed away before honor flights were given the green light again. So 25 flags traveled to Washington, D.C. with that latest contingent, along with 25 displays showing each veteran's name and photos from their time in the service and later in life. So when that Central Valley honor flight returned, the families of 15 of those veterans, including Chuck Keene's family, were waiting. And one by one, a shadow box with the veteran's photo display and flag were handed to the families by current members of our armed forces. It was a powerful, powerful moment that underscores not only the respect we all have for those who serve, but the urgency of this mission of taking our veterans to their memorials to experience everything that journey encompasses, impactful on so many levels. Many of you listeners were instrumental in helping us get Central Valley Honor Flight started nearly a decade ago, but another helping and encouraging hand came from Honor Flight Nevada and its leader, John Yuspa. That's a very active group headquartered in Reno, and one neat way to support their efforts as part of the Honor Flight Network is to purchase the book Legacies of the Silver State, Nevada Goes to War. All the proceeds go to Honor Flight Nevada. I have a link to that book online. I'm going to give you a few upcoming dates where you can get one and meet the authors, and we're going to hear from one of the authors right now. Steve Ranson is a retired lieutenant colonel who spent 28 years in the Nevada National Guard, twice going to Afghanistan as an embedded journalist. You'll hear about a couple of his other adventures in uniform, but first, let's hear about the origins of this book full of World War II veteran stories.
During the past few years, Ken Beaton, my co-author, David Henley, another co-author who used to own the newspaper, we had been writing stories about World War II veterans along with other wars, and they've all appeared in the newspaper. I saw another book, and it was on a military convoy that came through Fallon and the West, and I was looking through the book, and everything was documented. My feeling is when stories appear in a newspaper, over time, people just throw newspapers away. They don't keep them. And with a book, you can hand that down from generation to generation. So what happened is I went on an honor flight in 2020, right before everything with COVID pretty much unraveled everything else. But I approached John Yespa, who is the director of Honor Flight in Nevada, about this idea of World War II veterans in a book. So the honor flight I was on, World War II veterans, I interviewed each and every one of them, which was 18. Ken and I and David Henley, we took our stories, we pulled them, and I started editing them to give them a freshened look. Got a hold of a book publisher. They were interested and sent the manuscript in. Got the book published in September of 2020 and officially launched it on November 11th of that year.
And all the proceeds are going to support Honor Flight Nevada and sending more vets to their memorials?
Yes, it is. That way more vets can go on the trip. And so far our net proceeds are kind of zeroing in on $18,000, which would send 18 vets on a trip.
Outstanding. And I want to hear about some of the veterans that you profiled in the book, and that'll be a reason for some people to buy the book and support Honor Flight Nevada in the process. But I'm sure that the process of putting this together was informative for you, that maybe you learned a few things between going on the honor flight and working on this book that you probably didn't know before.
I did. Some of the stories, for example, a man from Sacramento who was in the Army Air Force in 1944 had suffered injuries in Europe, and he was taken to the hospital. And one of the people in the hospital who was not more, maybe one or two beds away, was Audie Murphy. After the war, the Sacramento veteran worked for the phone company, and he tried to make contact with Audie Murphy, and Audie had become a star, and he couldn't do it. But just that connection of, here you had somebody, a young Army Air Force type of person in a hospital with somebody who was a gallant warrior, so to speak. The other thing is, I did not know much about my dad's service. He served on an LST north of the Philippines in 1945, and that's about all I knew. I interviewed a man south of Bishop. He worked on a ranch, joined after high school, same age as my dad, enlisted about the same time. He was assigned to an LST north of the Philippines, and they were in that supply chain heading up toward Japan in case there was the invasion. And he was telling me about the rough seas, about the kamikaze dives on the ships in that shipping lane. It kind of left me wondering if maybe something happened on that LST. My dad had kind of closed up and didn't want to talk about it. Another man lives in Elko, Nevada. He's originally from Colorado. He was in Germany after the war. His army barracks was south of Nuremberg. Every day he had to take soldiers from the army barracks up to Nuremberg, about a 30-minute trip. They would get the medical care, then they would come back again. I asked this man, Frank Pinkerton, what did you do during the day? Did you help the medical people? Did you do something else with the military? And he said, oh no, I had about 6 hours to spare. Drop them off. I had 6 hours, come back, take them back down to the barracks. I said, well, what did you do? He said, I went to the Palace of Justice, the Nuremberg trials. He was sitting in the visitors gallery, and he got to see a lot of the proceedings with Goring and Hess and quite a few of the Nazi military leaders at the time. And I found that to be interesting, but nobody really knew. Nobody ever asked him. And another thing that we've included in our book too, we have stories of Holocaust survivors. They spoke at a symposium. So we had Holocaust survivors, which I wrote about, and then several liberators, including one man who had been in the army, had been at the Battle of the Bulge, had been at D-Day. He was part of the liberating force at one of the concentration camps outside of Munich. He was describing the scenes of how emaciated the prisoners were and how happy they were to see the American GIs.
You know, I'm thinking one of the things that I say frequently on this program, usually in the first minute or two, is no matter where you live, there are stories there that really shouldn't go untold. And it sounds like this is what you guys have found in putting this book together, stories that if you weren't telling them, would have gone untold, because no one's out there saying, hey, look at me, listen to me, I've got something to tell you. Have you had a few moments where it just really raised your eyebrows or opened your eyes? You said, boy, I just can't believe what this guy just told me. I never would have guessed it.
Yeah, definitely, especially with the Nuremberg story of the soldier and him being a witness to history. He didn't think anything about it after the war, after he got home, until I asked him, well, what did you do? And we're finding more about different soldiers and sailors and airmen who served. After we came out with the book, Ken has been approached, and I've been approached to write more articles on World War II veterans, which have gone into to the newspaper. But we had people respond and said, well, my dad was here, or my dad parachuted behind enemy lines at Normandy and was captured as a POW, wrote that story. So at least we have the stories and we've told them. The other thing that's come out, which has produced a different project, which we didn't think of, is that several Vietnam Veterans of America groups, one in Carson City, one in Reno, have approached us to write about Vietnam vets. And we already have about 20, 22 stories written. We're stockpiling, and we hope to come out with something in another year and a half, 2 years.
So that's something else to look forward to in the future. But right now, you can order Legacies of the Silver State, Nevada Goes to War. And in doing so, you'll be helping send deserving veterans to their memorials in Washington, D.C. The updated total now is close to $20,000 raised for Honor Flight Nevada. And if you'd like to meet Steve Ranson and have him sign one of those books for you, there are a few opportunities around Northern Nevada in the next week. Wednesday night, May 25th, he'll be at the Churchill County Museum in Fallon giving a lecture about the book and what he learned through the process. Saturday, May 28th, he'll be with Honor Flight Nevada at San Rafael Park in Reno at 8 a.m. And the next day, Sunday, May 29th, from 8 to noon, he'll be at Honor Flight Nevada's Community Coffee in the Atlantis Casino West parking lot. I have those details listed at hometownheroesradio.com if I was speaking too fast for you there. And when we come back, we'll go deeper on one of the stories that's in the book through the memories of a World War II submarine veteran. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.